Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 62. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. How you doing, Nate?
Doing good.
Now, see, this is where it gets a little awkward because what the heck is Sean doing? He has no business doing the intro.
No hot toddy.
No hot toddy tonight. Tonight, it kind of fell apart. It got a little weird, so it was basically my fault. However, we're going to blame it on the phone. Right? I had phone troubles at home. Things got a little weird. Todd's schedule, none of our schedules ended up working out quite right. So we are going to drop this as our mini. So, and then we're going to pick it up, the three of us, next week.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
And
Todd was exhausted anyhow.
Yeah.
So
well, right. I think
hopefully he'll get some.
I think we're all getting a bit like, oh my gosh. Well, we're on the precipice of what? Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
My kids were asking, they said, well, what's Labor Day? And I was like, well, it's kind of, it's a misnomer because labor, it's a celebrating rest, technically, because you've been laboring so hard. So it should be called Rest Day, and we should have it more than once a year. is what I say.
You can only rest one day.
One day.
Yeah, hopefully Todd is getting some well-needed rest and sleep.
Yes, yes. He's our brother. We're sending him out lots of love.
Yep, we love him.
Yep, absolutely. There's a lot, whole lot of love. Okay, this is getting weird. Stop it. You know, we're going to start singing a whole lot of love. All right, so tonight we are going to talk about something that is your pick, right?
Yes, this was my pick.
Yeah, do you want to say what it is?
The dragon lore.
Ooh. You know, I like me some
everything,
lore.
Everything dragons.
And lore.
So yeah, dragons, this is how they depict them, I guess. A dragon is a reptile-like legendary creature that appears... That was me. In the folklore of many cultures worldwide.
Yeah.
Beliefs about the dragon vary considerably through regions, but dragons in Western cultures since the High Middle Ages have often been depicted as winged, horned, four-legged, and capable of breathing fire.
Mm.
Dragons in the Eastern cultures were usually depicted as wingless, four-legged, serpentine creatures.
Like a snake.
Like a snake. With above-average intelligence.
That's the kicker right there.
Yeah. Commonalities between dragons' traits are often a hybrid of feline, avian, and reptile features.
Mm-hmm.
Scholars believe huge extinct or migrating crocodiles bear the closest resemblance, especially when encountered in forest or swampy areas, and are most likely the template of modern oriental dragon imagery.
The dragon.
That's your dragon.
Are you dragon by telling about the dragon? I picked out in there, this has really nothing to do with all of the things you just said, but it's kind of interesting. If there's a high Middle Ages, then was there a low Middle Ages and a middle Middle Ages?
Well, I've heard of
I'm getting way too deep
middle
on
Middle
that.
Ages.
The middle Middle Ages. That would fit us perfectly, but so anyway, I was just trying to figure that one out. I have to start the dragon talk because this is, I know we could do a full, we might do a couple, you know, two, three, four parter, but we're going to consolidate this into a mini because both of us, this is probably a good thing. Todd's going to laugh at this. It's probably a good thing Todd's not here because he would probably be doing a lot of, oh gosh, oh man, is this really, why
well, are we talking by the this? End of it, he would love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is, we're going to hopefully be reminiscent of leprechauns and elves, right? Dragons for me. I love dragons. I've never been a big like Dungeons and Dragons kid, but I know my brother got into it. I had some friends in Dungeons and Dragons, of course, Stranger Things and all that good stuff. So I love the imagination of, you know, knights and princesses and castles and dragons and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of that wasn't imaginary.
This is right. Right. What am I talking about? Interesting thing though, when William, so he's our youngest boy, our third. He's 10 now, but when he was little, we would sit at the table, and I remember asking, we were just talking about what everybody wanted to be when they got older, right? And Ella wasn't even around at that point. And if she was, she was little. But we were going around the table, and Harrison said, you know, what he wanted to be. I think he was a football player, the quarterback, you know, of the Seahawks. And Claire wanted to be a nurse and a veterinarian. And then William is just looking around. He's so little, he really doesn't have much to say, you know, and but he's just been thinking about it. And he goes, I want to be a marshmallow. Yeah. And we're like, okay, good. I want to be a marshmallow. That's a great kid. Aspirations. Everybody's got them. So, and he's like, or dragon. Yeah. I want to be a dragon. We're like, so you want to be a marshmallow with a runner up of dragon. Like, oh man. So anyway, we still tell him that, like, and nowadays it's, I want to be a scientist. So, but we've gone from a marshmallow to dragon to scientist. So I'm very proud of him.
Well, at least he's going up the scale.
Yep.
Instead of saying, I want to be a peanut.
Exactly. He's something else. I think the interesting thing, and it's kind of what we, you know, we can talk about with part of this, is whether dragons are friend or foe. Because they're, and a lot of things are depicted as being demonic, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the monster that you have to kill or slay. You got to slay the dragon. People still speak in metaphors. My wife hates to speak in metaphors, but I'm going to do it. You got to go slay that dragon. You know, you got it. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that that's still part of our like vernacular and part of our the unconscious, you know, whatever universal thing that we all have. You know, so they that paints them in a bad light. But yeah. Were they? One of my favorite movies is Dragonheart.
Yes, that's a very good one.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Actually, I still own it. I've had the boys watch it, and I just Sean Connery, the voice of the last mm-hmm. dragon, you know, alive. It's excellent. It's a little hokey. It's Disney and Disney-fied, but it's just really cool. And mm-hmm. I saw it in the theater when it came out when I was a teenager. And so those are the kind of things that I still think about, you know, with the imagery of the Middle Ages. I know they're nowhere near this kind of stuff. Like you said, maybe they were. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting to me that I have a great admiration for this subject. Mm-hmm. If I didn't make that clear already. Yes, Sean, I get that.
Yeah. No, I've one of the more recent dragon imageries that I've really liked is the dragon from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think
right,
that
yeah.
really played a great role in the whole series.
Yeah.
Because it always comes down to having to slay the dragon.
Right.
You know, and it's like the David versus Goliath type thing.
Was he Gandalf the Grey? And then when he, you shall not pass! And then after mm-hmm. he fights him, he becomes the white, Gandalf the White. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that scene. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the dragons are so, they're just huge, and they have scales of armor, and you can't kill it, and
mm-hmm. they're mighty.
The biggest thing is being able to slay the dragon, mm-hmm. and there's in the heroic character always finds a way of being able to do that. So it's that's where my fascination with dragons is. It's just, they're always like this mighty foe. And I've always loved, like, you know, knights and shining armor, and I always love that era.
I do too. Yeah.
And so it just the dragon just fits so well.
As a kid, I always thought, oh, it'd be so much fun to do that for like maybe a second.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, it'd probably not. You'd be covered in your own feces and whatever. I think it's interesting though, the aspect of dragons is fire breathing. You
yes.
know? Number one. How in the world do you do that without destroying yourself? So you have to have some kind of like tough anatomy to be able to be fire breathing. But that is a form of power, number mm-hmm. one, but it's also a destructive force. So it is something that, I mean, it can take out at that time, obviously, villages or, you know, obviously it can take out, you know, livestock or whatever it wants. Mm-hmm. You know, it could take out whole forests or... so it's interesting that like the, how much power they would have mm-hmm. held and then, how symbolic they are.
So I like how I've seen, I can't remember if Game of Thrones depicted it this way. It's been so long since I watched that, but others there's, it's not that necessarily that the fire comes out of their throat, but it's more or less a flammable liquid
mm-hmm.
being excreted like, you know, a snake venom.
Yeah, right.
And then some sort of sparking mechanism. Mm-hmm. And
see, I've always thought of it as like coming out of their...
The napalm.
Right. I've always thought of it as like coming out of the middle of them, you know, or out of their gut.
Out of their belly.
Right, yeah, like a furnace.
Yeah.
So, but that's a good point, actually. I think, let's see, what was I going to say? I know what I was going to... I still haven't watched Game of Thrones, by the way. Isn't there a prequel coming out?
Yes, it's out.
I was thinking about the actual, you know, there being dragons, at least the prehistoric. I mean, they're also linked to like dinosaurs, but the Komodo dragon, you know, I thought that was always,
modern.
Yeah, modern. Yeah. I mean, they are a dragon of sorts.
Well, you have like the Komodo dragon, the Gila monster.
Yes.
Iguanas, alligators, crocodiles.
Yeah, they're all kind of a branch or branches of that era. So no fire breathing, though, on any of those. I'm just saying. Underwhelming.
No,
it's a little underwhelming.
Seeing any modern lizard spitting fire.
I'd like to see that, though. I really would. Not around my house, but stay away from my stuff.
Yeah. Can you put that on your homeowner's insurance?
Doubt it. Fire damage from the dragons? Probably not. So the dragon is a mythical creature, which we've been saying. Mythical, right? You said no mystical? Like non-mythical. Okay, let's say the dragon's a non-mythical creature. It's very quite real. What? Typically depicted as... just play the drums. That's what you need to do. You keep hitting the cymbal.
I keep hitting the cymbal.
No, that's at the
elbow.
End. You hit the cymbals at the end. Depicted as a large and powerful serpent or other reptile with magical or spiritual qualities. Now, spiritual qualities are interesting. Because can't they do like magic and spells and something?
Well, and I think some depictions that I've seen in movies and stuff is telepathy.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So they're wise. And so that's where I like, you know, are they good luck? Are they destructor, you know, bringers of destruction, however, whatever you want to say. It says, although dragons or the dragon-like creatures that we've been talking about occur commonly in legends around the world, different cultures have perceived them differently. Chinese dragons and Eastern dragons, which again, sometimes we forget about, right? And it's a lot of times where this comes from, generally are usually seen as benevolent and spiritual, representative of primal forces of nature and the universe, and great sources of wisdom. In contrast, European dragons, as well as some cultures of Asia Minor, such as the ancient Persian Empire, don't you be on over there, were all... talk about getting some sleep. Getting sleep. Where was I? Eastern dragons generally are usually seen as benevolent and spiritual, representative of primal forces of nature and the universe, and great sources of wisdom. In contrast, European dragons, as well as some cultures of Asia Minor, such as the... My gosh, I really reread that, didn't I? Mm-hmm. As the ancient Persian Empire were more often than not malevolent, associated with evil supernatural forces, and the natural enemy of humanity. The most notable exception is the... Ouroboros. Did you already say that one already? Because this is something that you need to say.
Oh, I don't know.
Ouroboros. Ouroboros. Ouroboros.
Sure.
Man, you should have messed that one up, not me. Or the dragon encircling and eating its own tail. See, that's what I meant. That thing. When shaped like this, the dragon becomes a symbol of eternity, natural cycles, and completion. Dragons are commonly said to possess some form of magic or other super normal powers, the most famous being the ability to breathe fire from their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the mic.
Usually sharp talons.
Yes.
And
to rip
sharp,
apart
sharp
to rip apart the people
teeth.
Again, what big teeth you have, Mr. Dragon.
But yeah, well, you have the old serpent from like a biblical dragon.
Yeah.
Was the many-headed Greek hydra,
one of my favorites.
Mhm. And also there's dragons in Chinese history. They play a huge part in the beliefs of that region. The Chinese dragon represents yang and the principle of
yang,
heaven, activity, and maleness in the yin yang of Chinese cosmology.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, they've been around actually, forever.
That's right. Todd's like, never again, you
never.
Two. No more.
Oh, wow. So,
then we should just brought the drums right over there and let him sit in Todd's seat.
Yeah. Yeah, the dragon has been the emblem of the imperial family, and until the founding of the Republic, the dragon adorned the Chinese flag.
Right.
The dragon came to Japan also with much of the rest of Chinese culture, and there it became capable of changing its size at will, even to the point of becoming invisible.
Ooh, that's cool. So, I was going to say, did it fly or slither? I guess if it's invisible, it can do whatever it wants.
Whatever it wants. Both Chinese and Japanese dragons, though, regarded as powerful, or powers of the air, are usually wingless.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned at the very beginning.
I think that's interesting, too, because I always think dragons with wings, but you're right. It does. They go both ways, honestly. So.
Yeah, dragons also figure in the ancient mythologies of other Asian cultures, including those of Korea, India, and Vietnam. So, yeah, it's a huge part of their culture.
I'm going to highlight this, and I know a few people out there are going to understand. I was a little bit too old for this era, but I do remember the show Dragon Ball Z. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
No.
I don't know what
I know
this has
of
to,
it, but
I don't know
what
this has to do
it.
Anything with our discussion except for the fact that this says
Dragons in the name.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Somebody out there is going to be like, yes, you mentioned Dragon Ball Z. I was hoping. So I don't have anything else to say on that part. But
well, I'll take us back to our childhood.
The Dungeons Dragon, and Dragons cartoon?
No. Well, there's Double Dragon.
Video game. Yeah, heck yeah.
Nothing to do with dragons either. But
well,
I guess kind of, tattoos or whatever.
That's right.
But no, Never-Ending Story.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that brings
there's
pictures
a dog,
into your mind.
Dog Dragon.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, it's Jim Henson, right? He's the puppeteer. I think is that dragons have become the most famous and recognizable of all mythical creatures used in fantasy, fairy tales, video games, film, and role-playing games of pop culture fame. While still seen as powerful and often dangerous to humankind, the latter of the 20th century saw a change in attitude with the good qualities of dragons becoming more prominent. No longer must all dragons be defeated by the hero or saint. Some are ready to share their wisdom with humans and act as companions, friends, or even guardian children, roles that parallel those of angels. So that's why I like the fact that there is such a juxtaposition. Yeah, see, I can use big words. And, you know, kind of that the dual personalities that they can have.
And they're, like we said earlier, they're thought to be highly intelligent. So I think I've seen some variations of, you know, on shows or whatever where, you know, they find a wise dragon to get some sort of knowledge that only the dragon knows. So, yeah, they're not only ferocious, they are extremely smart.
Right. The word dragon we talked about has the etymological roots as far back as Greek. We talked about that a little bit. In the verb meaning to see strong, there are several similar words in contemporary languages of the time that describe some form of clear sight. But at some point, the Greek verb was fused with the word for serpent, so drakon. From there, it worked its way into the Latin, where it became draconius, meaning snake or serpent. In the English language, the Latin word was split into several different words, all similar. Dragoon became the official name for the large, or dragon, I don't know why I said goon, dragon, dragon, became the official name for the large mythical creature, while variations of the root, such as draconian, which that's a term I've heard before, draconic and draconical all came to be adjectives describing something old, rigid, out of touch with the world, or even evil. So there we go, back and forth, right?
And then I always liked How to Train a Dragon.
Oh, you know, that is a good... Yeah, are they... Did they make three of those?
I believe
I know
three,
they made at least
then, like,
two.
I think...
and then there's like a series.
Special little
yeah.
mini-series and
yeah,
stuff.
That is... Yeah, that's a good point. That's very good.
Yeah, if you like dragons, check those out. That's fun seeing how they depict all the different types of dragons.
Yeah, I'd have to say what we've talked about, so, the Dragonheart and the Lord of the Rings dragon idea is really cool. I think those are probably some of my favorites. When I think about it, I think about some of the stories of old too, you know, talking about dragons and slaying them. So it's not scary, although, you know, a lot of it's used for fear-based, but it's very nostalgic, and it makes me smile.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good topic to pick.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're fun to imagine. And it gets to the main question is, you know, were they real?
Mm-hmm.
I read some things that say that over in Asia and stuff, they've found fossils that they believe were dragons. I don't think anybody has actually nailed it down 100% that,
right,
you know, these are dragons.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did they breathe fire? I doubt it.
I doubt it. Yeah, right.
Were they winged?
We just want them to.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to just go by modern representations of reptilians.
Right.
I don't believe there's a reptile with wings.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, a lot of even dinosaurs, now they're figuring out that they were, you know, some of them that we've...
More like birds.
Or more like birds and covered feathers. So who knows, yeah, right? I mean, who knows what was possible? Anything's possible because we obviously don't have it all right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there could have been, mm-hmm, at one time in the creation of Earth.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
Of having, you know, gigantic walking lizards.
Yeah, and it is. It's, like I said, it can be out of our...
Other than dinosaurs.
Well, right. Well, it can be out of our imaginations. It can be out of the, you know, ancient ancestors perceived dinosaurs, mm-hmm, or dinosaurs as they were evolving or changing or dying out or whatever. That's maybe kind of where we get some of that, you know, symbology from, mm-hmm, them. It says in medieval symbology, dragons were often symbolic of apostasy and treachery, but also of great anger and envy. Eventually symbolized great calamity. Several heads were symbolic of decadence and oppression, and also of heresy. They also served as symbols for independence, leadership, and strength. Many dragons also represent wisdom. Slaying a dragon not only gave access to his treasure hoard, but meant the hero had bested the most cunning of all creatures, like you said. Joseph Campbell, I don't know if you guys don't know Joseph Campbell, he's very interesting. In The Power of the Myth, viewed the dragon as a symbol of divinity or transcendence because it represents the unity of heaven and earth by combining the serpent form, earthbound, and the bat bird form, airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think Joseph Campbell is credited, if you don't know him, as being the original idea, or at least he brought it to our modern idea of, excuse me, the hero's quest or the hero's cycle, kind of, mm-hmm, like, and that's the storyline that they tell in stories over and over again, Star Wars being one, Lord of the Rings, you know, just that,
yeah,
hero's journey or that hero's quest, mm-hmm, which I love, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Quests are always fun.
There used to be a board game, I got to bring it up, called Hero's Quest. Loved, mm-hmm, playing it. My brother had it, and it was a little Dungeons and Dragony, but it was actually a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, I'm sure, still has it. But it had dragons in it, too, that, mm-hmm, and just different creatures and monsters and hit points and all this kind of stuff that, yeah, you had to,
played
had
to do. Similar, it's a dice game. To, yeah, it's similar to the Dungeons and, yeah, Dragons.
It was actually a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
So, yes, do I want them to be real? Well, heck yeah. Do I want them to breathe fire? Yeah. I mean, how else am I going to make s'mores?
Some s'mores.
But, yeah, I love this topic. Like I said, I could continue to talk about it for a while. Mm-hmm. You're going to see, I mean, there's still a lot of, like, some of the pictures show dragon symbology in paintings and portraits, and, mm-hmm, there's statues of dragons all over, well, the place.
That's how they, like,
gargoyles.
Many, yeah.
Right.
Like many things in ancient times, you know, I mean, the no... of things, the knowledge of why things are the way they are and how they operate and why they do that. They created, you know, these characters to explain why things are happening in nature. Hence, you know, all the gods of Olympus, and, you know, I mean, back in that time, they didn't know why the sun came up and came down, so it must be, right, a god. So it is the same thing with dragons. Mm-hmm. You know, they hear thunder in the distance.
Right.
And associated that to the roar of a dragon.
Yeah.
And that was the explanation of what that was.
I think it's interesting. Well, I know we could again, we can go for quite a while on this, but this is interesting to me because it kind of ties into some other stuff that we've talked about or will talk about. In Germanic and Norse traditions, dragons were often depicted as a lindworm, a variation on the serpentine creatures known as the Wyvern, which we've kind of touched on before. Mm-hmm. They usually appeared as monstrous serpents, sometimes with wings and legs, more often as gigantic snake-like creatures. Creatures than traditional dragons, the lindworms were seen as evil, bad omens, and were often blamed for preying on cattle and other livestock. They were particularly greedy creatures, guarding hoards of treasure and often living in underground caves.
So they're kin to leprechauns.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Right? leprechauns rode on their backs, probably. What is it? They're magically delicious. Sorry. I was trying not to go there, but
yeah,
you did it. Your fault.
Well, I don't really have any more to get in depth with the dragon.
Are you trying to wrap this up?
No.
<You're> like, nope. We could talk forever, I know.
No, it just, there's so much on them. I mean, it just, how deep do you want to go? And this is just a mini, so.
That's right. So we'll have to. We just scratched the surface.
Scratch the surface.
Scratch with those or our talons, right?
Yeah, get the word of dragon in your ear.
Draconian, right? I like it. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much for the talk.
It was fun.
Yeah. That was a good way to end our Wednesday night.
Definitely.
Definitely. Did you say that's a wrap? Have you already done the wrap?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Are you ready for your wrap? I'm no good at this. Remember, this is Todd's job.
Well, I need drum beats.
Well, here, hit the cymbal. We're going to have to go out on that cymbal.
Yeah. Nah, I think we've been dragging this out.
Long enough.
Far too long. That's a wrap.
What do you think, Todd? Well, we want to thank...
He's probably shaking his head. He's like, oh my. This is horrible.
Let's never let these guys do this again themselves. How about this? We want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle-Aged Mini number 62, discussing dragon lore, and we'll catch you later.
See ya.